B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as Nick Underhill's mock draft.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes, that is.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is Lil Dice. How you doing, brother?
What's up? You know, that is complete garbage, this Nick Underhill draft stuff. My goodness, Nick. What are you doing?
The feud between Dale and Nick is only going to get worse at this point.
Yes. So you know how we do on a beer run. We got four downs. We're going to talk about some beer, our Saints draft fears and hopes. And we're also going to talk about some breakers, pals. And we're going to end it off with the Batman and some Moon Knight. So
yeah, we're not going to get crazy on all the draft stuff because, as you're going to find out pretty soon, we will have plenty of draft coverage, I promise you.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get this ball spotted, and let's go.
First down, Saints.
All right, what are we drinking this week?
Okay, so you're gonna want to argue about this.
I'm sure I will.
Shout out to my guy, B-Train, because I went to the liquor store specifically to look for this. And it's Bud Light Seltzer Hard Soda.
Oh, no.
I got the orange flavor. This sucker's been pretty good. B-Train, my guy, man. I'm telling you.
You're both dead to me.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard soda, baby. Let's do it.
Hard soda. So that's the Bud Light Seltzer Hard Soda Orange. Mm-hmm. That is a mouthful. You got an essay just on the front of your can. I feel like I need an extra degree just to be able to figure out what the hell you're drinking. I'm not that complicated. I am staying local into the beautiful, great state of Louisiana from Lafayette, in fact, Parish Brewing Company. I'm having the Nova Vert. It is a juicy IPA, 6.5% ABV. I do not know the IBUs. It is a little hoppy. It's not particularly, it's very, very mellow, very juicy. It does have those mosaic hops, which I am a bit of a snob about. I'm not a snob, they're fantastic though. It's good. But important part of the show, how does it sound? Yeah, it sounds pretty good too. Yep. I'm on a hot streak, guys. I'm trying a new beer every week for this show. And I keep hitting. These are all good so far. They keep getting better every week. This is my favorite beer we've had on the show so far. If you guys have any beer suggestions, I want to hear them. We're going to have a little poll and everything, get Twitter active. I would like to hear what you guys are drinking, what I can try on the show and give you a review and tell me that what you drink is better than me.
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea for a Twitter poll. Who had the best drink on the show?
For the love of God, I hope I win.
Second down.
All right, let's get into some Saints talk. And my draft fears and hopes. Because, as you know, I dread the thought of the Saints trading up, giving up future assets to acquire some player that they deem to be the savior, especially in the condition the team is in my opinion. We have lots of holes, and we need to fill them. So that's my biggest fear right there. I say another fear of mine would be drafting a quarterback in any round. I don't care what
any round
it is.
You don't mind a sixth-round gamble on a developmental guy. It just, no matter what, you're not happy.
I don't want to draft a quarterback. Okay, listen. Here's my reasoning for that. You just drafted a quarterback. Like, I don't know what you expect to see from anybody in practice who getting, like, you know, 2 or 3 reps in a practice. I don't know what you're expecting to see. or what you're going to expect to see from a sixth round pick that you're not going to see from the fourth round pick you just made last year. So to me, you got to give them some time to develop and then make a decision.
And you know, I'm as big an Ian Book fan as anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been defending him through, you know, where he had that subpar showing. It wasn't his fault. Obviously, he was playing with the JV squad. I get that. And I was on board with getting a quarterback until we signed Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of, you know, then you all of a sudden you're competing for third. You know, if Ian Book was the second stringer right now and you were going to push him for the backup role, I think that's a different conversation. But I think once you get Andy, he's not getting upset by a sixth round pick. The only way that you draft a quarterback is if you're really sold on one of those top guys in first round. And I don't think it's worth it in the first round. Right. There's too many other holes to fill.
Yes. Too many other holes to fill.
God, I hate agreeing with you. We're much more interesting when I'm telling you how wrong you are.
But then also, it's like for everybody who, you know, believes quarterbacks are lottery tickets, like you're literally going to see him throw the ball a few times in preseason, a few times in practice, and that's really it. And so I'm saying, what is it going to take for a guy to actually push himself up the roster in a condition like that, where you don't get that many attempts, you know?
You're going to bring down the full wrath of Nick Underhill if he had any idea who we were.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so your fears are that we move up or that we draft a quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, what are your hopes? What will make you happy? What's going to make you feel real good? When we finish recording our instant reaction on Thursday night, what's going to lean you towards a celebratory cigar?
Definitely filling holes with guys that we can consider starting caliber players.
And so what does that mean to you? Does that mean picking two players in that first round at quote unquote positions of need?
Yes. Multiple guys at positions of need would be ideal for me. So I would love to see at least two wide receivers coming out of the draft.
Okay. I thought you meant at least two in the first round.
I mean, be very nice if we can get two in the first round.
Would you actually, you'd actually be happy about that if we picked two receivers in the first round?
So, okay, I kind of talked myself into this. Mm. All right. When all of a sudden, like, it's like I woke up one day and all of a sudden everybody was like, yo, the Saints might not get an offensive tackle in the first round. What? You know, and everybody's mock draft started looking different. and so I'm thinking now, okay, what if the Saints don't get an offensive tackle in the first round? Well, in the third round or so, we should be able to get my guy, Dare Rosenthal, who's a former LSU Tiger. Okay, who had to transfer.
There's the connection.
Because of some stupid rules that LSU had. Okay, yeah. And he could be a starting left tackle. So that could be our other option right there.
So if you're picking an offensive tackle in the third round, that means you got three picks before then that I'm imagining you're going to use at least two of on a wide receiver and I don't know what else is safety.
Yeah, definitely safety. Okay. That's the position that's going to kind of frighten me because I don't see them using a first round pick on the safety. Because like after what Kyle Hamilton, like it's a drop off, right? So I don't see that happening.
So it's funny you say that. My biggest draft fear is that we trade out of the first round with both picks and our 4 hours of recording are for nothing and we're just sitting here like idiots.
You damn right!
That's my biggest fear is that we're setting up this whole live reaction and we don't draft anyone in the first round. That's my big... But outside of that happening, I don't want us to draft a safety in the first round and I think that we might. It's not saying that one position is more important than others, but I feel like you can protect a weak secondary with a strong front seven. Mm. And we're looking to have a real strong front seven, especially our front four, I think is going to be really, really strong.
Right.
And I think strong corners, strong front four, a pretty solid linebacker play. I feel like you can kind of protect maybe a subpar safety set. I think there's more important things to address. I know we need a big play wide receiver. I don't care if he's a free agent that we overpay or if he's a first round pick. We need a big play receiver. Yes. And I would like offensive line. I would like as much offensive line as possible with the option of it working out. You know, we talk about everything that went wrong last year. The biggest detriment to our team, our offensive line was terrible. And, yeah. You know, it's shuffling in now, guys, and it's injuries. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you don't have the same guys, you know, consistently playing together, you don't have that cohesion. You don't have that mesh. It's just not the same product. Even Absolutely. If they're all good players, if they don't play well with each other, it doesn't matter. And so for me, yeah, man, you gotta spend one of those first round picks on online. I don't even care if it's a tackle. If there's a fantastic guard that's rated high enough, go get that guy. I want good players on that line. It's important to me. Best case scenario, we get a receiver and an offensive lineman in that first round.
Yes.
Preferably tackle, probably. It's a bigger need at the moment. But if we get a tackle receiver in either order, I'm pretty happy. If we trade out of the first round with one of the picks and accumulate more picks, I'm happy with that. If we trade both picks out of the first round, I'm going to feel like an idiot recording on here for 4 hours with you guys. I don't really want to trade up either, but it's what we do, you know? Yeah. If the Saints trade up, but they don't use both first rounders to do it, you know,
right.
If they trade up, you know, with a second or a third, that's one thing. But if we end up using the 16 and the 19 to pick one guy in the top 10, that's not going to sit well with me either.
No. We already are missing a first round pick for next year.
That's right.
So I definitely don't want to give up any more future assets. Because I'm telling you, it sucks, man. And the draft really sucks when your team doesn't have picks. Like, it really sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes two first-round picks mean getting a guy like Davenport, who is dominant for 6 or 7 games every year.
Is that what he is?
I think at this point in his career, you can say he's pretty dominant for the limited amount of games he plays.
Nothing!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, some people are going to tell you that availability is the best ability. But those guys, they're not welcome here.
Paper! Another fear, I would say, is just not getting enough SEC players. Especially ones who wear purple and gold. And also play in Louisiana, you know, because those guys
setting yourself up for disappointment every year.
Those guys are used to the heat. They're used to the food and everything.
It's not an indoor training facility. What do you care about the heat for?
So,
and frankly, in living down here, you do not get used to the heat in the summers down here. There's no points where you're just like, yeah, the heat and humidity is cool. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
you
become immune to it.
I politely but firmly disagree.
But yeah, I would love to see a guy like Neil Farrell get picked up later because...
Well, he's going to be a UDFA, so that doesn't matter.
He's not. He's going to be available in like the 5th or 6th. Or hey,
you should be happy. I'm saying he's going to come to the Saints because we're going to sign him as a UDFA. This is the best of both worlds. Okay. I win the bet and he's a Saint.
Okay. Yeah. I guess being the Saint is the most important part of that.
Amen. That's right. I'm always right.
Because I really like that guy. And nobody's also talking about Ty Davis Price. I think he's going to be pretty good as a running back. And there seems to
we
be...
We do like need a late round running back. We need some depth there.
Yeah. And overall, in the NFL, I think there's a little bit of a shortage of running backs right now. When you start,
is it
seeing,
a shortage or is it an undervaluing?
Well, for sure, it's undervalued. I mean, because you won't see a running back go in the first round or anything. But I think, you know, with so many teams signing, you know, corpses of running backs, you know, like the former guy from Pittsburgh messed up all
McCoy?
His money. Huh?
What, from Pittsburgh University or at the Steelers?
The Steelers, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell?
Bell, yes. I couldn't think there of his nothing, yeah.
Yeah, because he fell off a cliff and no one cares about him anymore.
Right.
Come to NOLA.
But he's not a good running back anymore, you know?
He was.
But he keeps getting these contracts because there's a shortage, you know? And so I'm thinking a guy like Ty Davis Price, given the opportunity, he's going to make the most of his work. Now, he's not going to come in and be dominant right off the bat, but I'm telling you, when he gets his opportunity, he's gonna make the best of it.
I think he makes a team somewhere. It might be through the draft. It might be as a UDFA. He sounds like he'd make a team. You know, this is an awful lot of LSU talk we're doing. Is there maybe there's an outlet for us down the road to have maybe an entire show where we just talk about LSU? I don't know.
I mean,
maybe that's something to consider.
Have to see what the people want. Maybe we can, you know, maybe
stay tuned.
Put up a little thing on Twitter and see what the people want to hear about LSU.
Stay tuned for LSU Tiger Talk.
Third down for what?
Let's get into our other team. So we have in Louisiana, okay, because Dave the Wave, all right, 2-0, and the Breakers are looking good with his defense. Davin Bellamy, greater than Davenport. Okay.
Don't cancel us, Dave.
But I mean, have you gotten to check out any of the Breakers, man? Like it's been
tough. I've been kind of just checking them on after the fact. I haven't watched them live yet, but they're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That defense is impressive. I mean, it's hard to kind of quantify because it's obviously not NFL level talent, you know?
Yeah.
But it's certainly better football than, you know, the parks and rec leagues I've been playing in for the last few years. No, it's fun, man. It's fun that our team is good. They're 2-0. They're the best defense in the league. They've had defensive player of the week the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And good defense travels, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to have another league that we can pay attention to when the NFL pisses us off.
For sure.
And
man.
It will, because it always does.
Oh yeah. And look, this last game, well, the first game, like the Breakers, they were really running the ball a whole bunch. Ran the ball, you know, down the other team's throat. And, you know, this last game they played Tampa. And like the passing game really came alive. We had like an OBJ kind of catch from the Breakers.
That was
and everything.
A fantastic catch. Look, but there is a long storied history of New Orleans football teams beating the tar out of Tampa Bay teams that they have no business being as good against as they are. So this was always expected, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We also tweeted something, I guess like maybe a week or so ago, where it's Dave regular, okay, but then Dave at work, okay, and it's Dave the Wave costume, all right, because we know that's really him, we know it, and
breaking news, Dave of BS and Beer Network is also Dave the Wave.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's him.
He doesn't even try to hide it. It's the same name.
Same glasses.
Bad disguise, Dave.
Yeah. So also, rocking New Orleans are the Pelicans. Okay.
Okay. I want to. Was it Kendrick Perkins? Somebody came out and said out loud that New Orleans was not a basketball city, and that the Pelicans should move or something.
Oh yeah.
Whoever did that. That was him. They need to apologize to the NBA proper, mm-hmm. because the Pelicans seem to have taken it personally and are personally responsible for knocking out my Los Angeles Lakers. Long story, I'll get into it later. The Clippers, the Spurs, and now we're going toe to toe with the number one seed. They are fun,
right.
They are loud and they are fun, and it's ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, the Pelicans, they're the Pelicans. It's not a name that strikes fear in any hearts. Bird. It's a bird that eats fish. That's the team is fun. They're exciting. They've made me start watching, even though I'm from Los Angeles and a Lakers fan from birth. They are definitely more entertaining right now than my Lakers on the couch.
I mean, look, this last game, bro. Jose Alvarado, like, got underneath Chris Paul's skin. It was amazing to watch. I love it.
I love seeing Chris Paul pissed off. I hate Chris Paul.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Screw you, Chris Paul, for leaving us.
He's the worst. Have you ever watched a game where at some point you didn't say, man, I wish someone would slap that guy? Yes. He has a permanent please slap me face.
Yes. And the whole...
I know a lot of New Orleans fans kind of think of him fondly when he was here.
Yeah.
No, screw that guy, man. Yeah. He wanted out of town. He talked about shit about us.
He left us. Forget him. And then
him and Anthony Davis can cry.
The whole blender out there chanting, Jose, 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 Jose. Oh my goodness.
It's
so good. So good. I'm telling you. So hopefully
that's
the Pelicans.
And they've evened the series up. They're 2-2 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they play again tonight. They're gonna be in Phoenix. Hopefully the Pels pull this thing out.
Now, admittedly, Phoenix did lose, what was it, their best player, one of their best players?
Yeah, yeah. Booker got hurt.
That sucks. You wanna beat a team, at full strength.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I don't. I just like to win. Right. Yeah, fair.
Exactly. Give me a win any kind of way. I can get it. I don't care.
All you gotta do is get to the next round, and then maybe they're the best player against them. Right. Who cares? Hey, all of this is happening. Well, Zion is on the bench.
Hey.
He can't even play.
Really?
Like, I don't expect the Pelicans to win it all this year, but they have really built something with the acquisitions they made this season and the talent coming off the bench and the draft picks they've accumulated. This is going to be a good team the next few years. It's an exciting time to be a fan of the Pelicans.
Yeah, I got
it. Something I've never said out loud in my life.
I've got to give David Griffin some credit. Because, look, we were about ready to crucify him, after things didn't work out. And he fired coaches and all this stuff. After you just hired somebody, like, man, he wasted a lot of money, bro. Like, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Did it waste it, or did he get us to this point?
That's what I'm saying. You got to take the credit when you're giving criticism. So I'm giving him credit. And definitely Willie Green. Man, he's been coaching his behind off, man, for real. He really has.
Absolutely. And you can say all you want about having the players all kind of overperforming their expectations, but that a lot of that is coaching. It kind of stems with how great a job he's doing as head coach.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of some of the things I've been seeing as far as clips and things I've been hearing from other players doing interviews from LSU and the difference Brian Kelly seems to be making there. Like, it seems to be
LSU
a total
talk again.
a total transition there. And I think in a few years, man, we're going to be looking at another championship in Baton Rouge.
I don't know how many years it's going to take. It's a lot of LSU talk. I think maybe there should be another another time or download, maybe another feed altogether. Huh. I feel like we have more to talk about LSU.
Yeah.
Did they just have a spring game happen? I think they just had a spring game happen.
They did indeed.
A little bit of quarterback controversy sprinkled in, mm-hmm. like delicious sprinkles on a fresh donut.
Oh, yeah. We love some quarterback controversy, man.
I hate it with every fiber of my being, but we have some. I think we're split on this. I think you're in the Miles Brennan camp.
I'm still Team Miles, but
okay.
I must say, Nussmeier really impressed me.
I like the physicality. He's a much more athletic.
Yeah, he is. He is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's younger. And you can build around him a little bit better.
Absolutely. You can definitely build around him. But I heard a lot from Brian Kelly's interview where he kept calling Miles, like, he just has that veteran mentality, and he should.
He's about 35 by now.
He does this like a veteran. He looks like a veteran, leads. Mm-hmm. And so leadership is huge. And it's something we don't really take into account because we don't have the info. But I'm just judging,
especially with a new coach and new coaching staff.
Yeah,
having that veteran voice in the locker room is actually pretty important for that cohesion.
Yes, the quarterback really has to be like an extension of the coach. You know, meaning you're going to make the same kind of decisions the coach would make on the field, and that is very important. And I mean, the ability of getting other people to follow you is pretty important too. And I don't know, man, I really just understood that quality a lot better when the Saints got Breeze versus, you know, Aaron Brooks and stuff. Cause I was just really looking at physical attributes, and that's really all I cared about.
And if you still felt that way, you would have been the biggest Cam Newton fan. Or Taysom Hill for that matter. Man, we have so much to say about LSU. I feel like we can't choke up this show. This is the beer run. This is we're going to hit four topics. We'll run through it real quick, and we'll be here with you next week. We're going to need a separate platform for LSU talk.
Yeah.
So anybody listening to this, if you have any interest in that whatsoever, any at all, find us on Twitter. Let us know. Because I think it might be kind of fun when we talk about LSU every once in a while.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Let's get into Batman and Moon Knight.
The Batman,
yes. So, the Batman, okay, this is a totally different Batman than...
Yes, it is.
...than the other Batmans that was like in Justice League and The Dark Knight and all that. So, it's a totally different, I guess, like DC Universe, right?
Yep.
That we're in. So... it looks like this Batman, he's just kind of starting out, you know, being the Batman, right? So he's got like his lair in what, like abandoned subway station and stuff, right? And Alfred is helping him really put things together a lot, like all the riddles and stuff like that. And what Gordon isn't the commissioner yet, right? He's like a detective still, right? Or something.
You know,
like
he wasn't commissioner yet either in Batman Begins.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I think he gets promoted in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. So I did enjoy the character arc too of Batman, because it really looked like in the beginning he was just trying to intimidate criminals and, you know, eliminate crime, that kind of thing. But later, you know, in the movie, he kind of discovers he wants to be more and give the city of Gotham hope and be out there in front and, you know, leading stuff. So as Batman, and I thought that was pretty cool.
So I know you only watched it fairly recently. Uh-huh. And you've done a masterful job of breaking it down. And anyone listening to this doesn't have to watch it. They've seen the whole movie from your breakdown. But did you like the movie? Did you think it was a good movie?
Yeah, to me, it started off a little kind of different and slow. Well, I'll tell you, it took a bit for me to get used to this Riddler, right? Because every exposure I've had to Riddler, he's been, you know, he's a criminal, but kind of goofy kind of criminal, right?
And this guy is modeled after what, the Unabomber and the Zodiac killer,
right? Exactly. Yeah. This was pretty dark, and I thought it was a good spin on him, and it makes him, I mean, a little bit more credible, like as a villain, bad guy, you know.
Sure.
And I did like the, you know, the kind of team up thing with Joker, and I'm interested in the Penguin's kind of arc as he.
Well,
kind
he's
of
gonna have a whole whole spinoff series to tell you about it.
Yeah, and so I do love when movies set other things up. I love that. Mm. So I'm really looking forward to these spinoffs of Penguin and the Arkham kind of spinoff. Mm. I think that's going to be interesting as well.
You know, we've been talking about Batman for a little while now, and we haven't brought up what was my favorite part of that movie, And that's Zoe Kravitz's portrayal of Catwoman, who I thought was, she was incredible. Oh, she couldn't be on, she was on screen, I was glued to her. She was fantastic in the role.
Yeah.
She was, I mean, it was such an excellent take on the character. I thought it had a lot of credence to a lot of the comic adaptations where she's tough, but she's feminine, but she's this femme fatale character that she doesn't need you, but she's part of it. She's fantastic. Right. I loved the whole portrayal. I thought she was so good. I thought she probably, in my opinion, my favorite part of the movie. And yeah. I loved the movie. I thought it was great.
Okay.
I loved the whole take on the noir kind of detective story,
right.
But with Batman.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. I'm tired of seeing giant sky beams in the sky and giant explosions. Even the end of the third act when they knocked out the walls, and I thought that was a little bit much. I love the, what set the whole tone for this movie is that first couple of scenes where he's narrating about how they think he's in the shadows,
mm-hmm.
but he is the shadows. And you see these criminals are scared.
Right.
You know, the guy knocks over a liquor store, but he won't go down the alley because it's dark and he can't see it. And he doesn't know that Batman's not there. I love that is so true to the origins of the character and what he has become, and that he is this force of nature. He's striking this fear. I don't know if I've ever seen another Batman movie where the criminals were as afraid.
Right.
You know, they played up a little bit in The Dark Knight, I guess, about, you know, the drug deals going down, and he said, "Oh, I don't like it tonight." You know, yeah. Like I get that, but this was the first time I ever felt like he was scary.
Okay.
You know, which is amazing because he had a stick insect playing him with Robert Pattinson's Twilight. I've been really harsh on Twilight over here, but he did a great job. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was, when he got cast, I said, no, what? It's terrible.
I had the same reaction.
But as everyone keeps reminding me, I said the same damn thing when they cast Heath Ledger, however many years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I'm terrible at this, and no one should ever talk to me about casting decisions because I'm always wrong.
Well,
I thought the cast was great. There was not a single performance I didn't like. I think Alfred was a little underused.
Okay.
Maybe Andy Serkis's character, he felt kind of shoehorned in. He didn't have a lot to do. I love Catwoman. I liked Riddler. I thought Paul Dano, I thought he did a great job. I love Jeffrey Wright. I love Selena Kyle's Zoe Kravitz. I love this movie. It was a great movie. I loved it. Obviously, there were some problems with it because every movie has problems. You know, every movie is Citizen Kane.
My biggest problem with this movie was that explosions don't kill people.
He's too bulletproof, I think. The part in the shadows when the guy just has the machine gun, just and he's just bouncing off. It's like, come on, all right, come on. Come on. You can stop something, but you're just a tank at that point. Come on, man.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, man, I give the movie thumbs up for sure. So
we gotta come up with a beer run rating system for movies we see.
Yeah, we should.
Four beers out of five, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. If you have suggestions for our beer rating, find us on Twitter.
In a couple weeks since we talked about Moon Knight last. And
I've given up completely trying to figure out what's going on. I'm just alone for the ride now.
So
I was trying to find what pages of what comics this could relate to
and
what storyline this might mean. And this last episode, man, I'm done. I'm just going to watch it at this point. I give up.
So it got pretty trippy this last episode.
Yeah, it did.
I think we've gotten the curtain kind of pulled back to get to know Mark Spector, because we initially got introduced to Steven right off the bat, right? And but now we kind of see their relationship. They've got a relationship now where they're talking to each other through the mirror and in each other's head and all that kind of stuff. And we kind of see that the character kind of has limited, the other character has limited control of the body. I thought that was pretty interesting. I do like to get to know more about how we got to know more about Khonshu, his mission, and then the other god, Amit, and his mission and like their avatars, and everybody's got an avatar on Earth and they're doing their person's will and everything like that. It's still interesting how both of the characters can change to Moon Knight, and the adaptations of the Moon Knight suit looks different.
Steven's suit is so fun.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
it's just fun.
And then now we're in Egypt and we're doing things. And by the way, where's Doctor Strange with all of this craziness?
You think he would have
noticed
this whole potential world-ending event?
Yeah, like, yo, what's going on here? Do I need to do something? Open a portal, whatever.
I believe that's called a Marvel plot hole. You can't introduce a character like Doctor Strange who sees everything and knows everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And then have all this. It's like when they had the Eternals and they're like, oh, how come you guys didn't help with Thanos?
Yeah.
It wasn't important enough.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of here. Like, I love the Egyptology they're doing, though. Digging into more of the Egyptian gods, and they're in pyramids and talking about Alexander the Great considered himself a pharaoh. All this really weird, obscure kind of digging into the Egyptian mythology. So I love that. I love that. That's my favorite part of this show. The surprise appearance of the hippo goddess. I can't remember her name out of my head.
Yeah.
That's fun. That I hope they lean into that in the next episode where it's just full blown animal headed gods and goddesses. I'm in. It's fun. Still, to this day, the part of it that I can't stand the most is the whole split personality thing. I just want to watch one person's perspective without having to cut to another scene and then figure out what the hell happened in the scene we didn't miss. I'm not smart enough to put all that together.
And yeah, that brings us to like that last episode where it got really trippy and it reminded me of Legion. Like, have you ever watched Legion?
You know what? It's one of those I'm going to get around to it, and I haven't yet.
Yeah, so it's like pretty much the
Isn't
whole...
Isn't there a dinosaur in Legion? Isn't one of the people have a Deinonychus or something like that? I might be mixing my shows up.
I don't think so.
I'm thinking of The Runaways. That's on me.
Okay, I never watched that one.
Okay.
But it did get pretty trippy. Like, the whole thing is like the last episode of Moon Knight, I'm telling you. You don't know what's real, what's not.
I drink too much for those kind of trippy situations.
Yeah. And you know, that also brings up something else. Like, where is Kang? Like, shouldn't Kang be like one of the villains of the show? Like, because there's supposed to be so many of them. Because
he's gonna be the big bad. I think he's either him or Galactus are the big bad in the MCU. They can't waste him on a show like this.
I mean, but there's so many different instances of Kang.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes through throughout time and everything. Right? Yeah. So you can make him into anything, but he's still Kang.
Man, this makes me want to talk about the Loki series because I liked how they brought him in the Land of the Loki.
Yeah. So that's my problem with this series.
Man,
it's not connected.
We keep doing this. We keep having shows where we try to talk about Moon Knight and we start talking about 17 other Marvel series that we want to talk about more. I want to see how Moon Knight, there's only, what, three more Moon Knight episodes?
Yeah. What was it? Eight total?
Is it eight? I thought it was six. Okay. Yeah. The performances are good. The cast is good. I want to see how they land it. Cause I'm very, very apprehensive about some parts of it, but I think a lot of it, it's really good.
I seriously hope at the end or something, they connect it to something. So that way I can know or try to imagine how it fits into the rest of the universe. Yeah.
Bet you a beer they don't.
Yeah, and if they don't, I'm going
to
be
We're going to add this to the beer bets. I bet you a beer that they're going to leave this dangling as its own individual property. They will not bring in another character, I guarantee it.
It'll be terrible. Okay.
If you want a better explanation of our beer bets, find us on Twitter.
So yeah, reach out to us on Twitter, man. Let us know what you're thinking about this Moon Knight series, and you know, are we?
Tell us what you're drinking. Tell us what you're watching. Tell us what's new. Tell us about your mom and them. Just talk to us. We ain't got no friends.
Yeah, man.
All right, for the BS and Beer family, for the Beer Run, for Lil Dice, for myself, for Dave and Tomas, for the whole team, this has been the Beer Run. Find us again next week. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bsandbeer@icloud.com.
11, 12, 13. Eastside Soldier Press Park 17. Represent the NO, cause that's where we be. You know who it is, it's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th.